For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I am Tim Fuel, back with another show of Non-League News, Views and Blues. Alone on the journey this week as I navigate around commitments elsewhere, but with a show still as packed with stories from the kaleidoscope that we love to call Non-League Football. Much to discuss, so let's get things underway. Okay, so let's start with the big news that broke at the start of this week about a club covered greatly both on this show and in the national media. After being forced from their Champion Hill home before the end of last season due to a dispute with the landlord, this week Dulwich Hamlet announced plans to return to Champion Hill with a new lease and a rolling extension. To tell us more, director Tom Cullen joins us on the line. Good afternoon, Tom. Great week for you.
Brilliant week, yeah. Couldn't be happier. So I'm currently speaking to you in the main stand at Champion Hill. We've been here all day making a list of things to do, and the groundsmen have started work, so couldn't be happier.
So I guess we start with, what's been agreed, how long for, and when are you going to be back?
Well, we're hoping to be back by December, although that's down to the pitch and how quickly we can get it back up to scratch. The agreement is that we come in and we run the match days in their entirety, so bar, turnstiles, stewards, the works, which is brilliant. It will be an initial 18-month lease with a never-ending year extension that will get signed every year, and that will be in conjunction with the Greendale playing fields, which we always used to have behind the stadium, which we are hoping with the assistance of Mayor and the council to put a 3G pitch down on, so that the community can have use of a proper football pitch behind the club.
And to actually get to this stage, we've got to mention you had the actual Minister for Sport involved in your discussions. And that shows the profile of this matter, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, we're not the only club by any means in this situation, but we do hope that we can act as a focal point and really try and lobby for some change. So, this doesn't happen to any other clubs. We're incredibly grateful for not only Tracy Crouch and DCMS's intervention, but also Helen Hayes and Harriet Harman, our local MPs, are quite involved. And also, everyone at Meadow and everyone at Southwark, this was not an easy negotiation from any point. And everyone's come together and put the club first. And, we're incredibly grateful for that.
Yeah, because obviously when we discussed the issue of Champion Hill, when you were effectively locked out at the end of last season, it looked like there was no route of communication between all the parties, and everybody just walked away, and there was no future really. How have you managed to get everybody singing from the same hymn sheet and working together?
I mean, you're right. I mean, there were lots of times over the last year where there wasn't much hope. We just tried to come in with a new approach, and we approached Meadow in the summer, who were very receptive to chatting to us and something happened, and same with the council. Obviously they had the election in May and kind of got rolling again over the summer, and we just managed to come at it from a bit of a fresh approach and got everyone kind of talking again, and that was the main thing for us. We knew that's what we can do. We're not really, we're a stakeholder in the situation, but we have no say necessarily. The best thing we can do is to connect everybody up again, and that's what we've done. And very happy that it turned into what it turned into.
And I saw on one message for him this week, it all being someone referring to it almost like a divorce settlement, where you end up being best friends with your ex-wife, because It is like that. Like you were saying, you're only a stakeholder. But, Champion Hill was so important to you guys as a club. And really, there was probably no better scenario than the one that you've achieved now.
No, it's kind of everything we could have dreamed of, really, in Oxford. And, that's a lot of hard work from our end, but also, a huge amount of understanding and hard work from both Meadow and the council as well. Neither one of them had the budget they didn't want to, but they have put us first, and that's all we ever really wanted. From where we were to where we are now, the club is unrecognisable. It's run much better. We have better structures in place. Obviously, we're in a league above now as well. So it gives us the ability to kind of run the club we always wanted to run. And we can be more vocal for it, really.
And does it give you, with the tenure that you've been offered, does that give you a chance to really look at a long-term plan and as to how the club's going to go forward and maybe gain future promotions and where that will lead to?
Exactly that. It allows not only us, but it's massively important for our community as well. Without us here, the local economy is hurt as well. We're hurt, the entire community is hurt. Now I think it gives everybody a stable enough foundation to all be able to work together on not only the football side of things, but the community side of things, and make sure that everyone, is around the table and making the best decisions for everyone, really.
And what's the reaction been? You say you're at the club today and, everybody's there helping. What's the reaction been from players, from staff, from fans on the back of this news?
I've never had so many grown men crying down the phone to me. Put it that way. When we announced the news, especially to, the chairman and the vice chairman and the people involved in the trust, it was just, just immeasurable. Because there were so many times we did feel so hopeless, for it to have come around, so quickly and, relatively quietly in lots of ways, it's been a wonderful surprise to everybody. We've had lots of people just walking by the ground today, coming and taking photos because the gates were open for once. And everyone's just absolutely thrilled. And I'm sure that will continue till we get our first game confirmed. But just even having the PA on, people going, I can hear music coming from Champion Hill. It just means so much to so many people.
I was going to mention that you've obviously mentioned lots of people involved and lots of people that help the club get to where it is and help the club run. You say people there again today, but to keep it so quiet that all these negotiations were going so well, it must have been so difficult. We look at the TV news about politicians not being able to keep a secret from one another, and you seem to maybe we should put you in charge of Brexit negotiations.
You know what, you're not the first person that's made that joke. it comes down to the fact that we've only been focused on coming back here, and if that means that it's frustrating, it's for us to not let fans know or not to keep people, not to give people the running commentary. As hard as that is, if it's the right decision to allow us to get back, then of course we'll do it. This was not by any means a one-man show. There were so many people, behind the scenes making this work and on all different levels. But it's all worth it when we all piled into the EDT on Goose Green on Tuesday night and stayed there well into Wednesday morning.
Mm. We spoke to Gavin Rose earlier on in the season, and he mentioned that the ground share at Tooting, what was it? They've been so accommodating and helped provide stability for the club by agreeing that ground share quickly last season. It had led to some squad issues with the travel too far for certain players he wanted to sign. This is surely going to help with those sort of issues as well this year.
Massively. Tooting have been absolutely unbelievable for us. They've been incredibly supportive. The entire team over there have been brilliant, and we can't thank them enough. We hope we can pack out the last home games we have over there and, leave a nice positive kind of injection over there. I think in terms of squad, we are the team that's like, there are so many good players that come out of South East London and around this area. It does make a massive difference. Not only to the first team, but the academy as well. To be back here and to be near where people live, and in South East London, it doesn't sound like it's far. 8 miles between us and Tooting, but that can be a 50-minute drive.
Having sat on that South Circular many times, that's a long drive. Yes.
It's not an easy one. It's not easy for fans either. So just to have that available to us again. It's just, it means a lot. Every possible facet, really. It just, everything is improved almost instantly. So we hope that we'll see a nice return to Champion Hill bounce. I mean, I can imagine that the first couple of games here are going to be sold out in front of 3,000 people. So if that doesn't kick on the players, then I don't know what will.
Well, Tom, fantastic to speak to you as ever. And it's so nice to have somebody on from the club. You can hear the enthusiasm and the excitement and the positivity in your voice. So it's great to hear that the next chapter of Dulwich Hamlet Football Club appears to be one that everybody wants to remember for the right reasons.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, brilliant.
Now, this week is FA Trophy weekend, with the first round qualifying taking place, but the buzz has been all about the first round proper draw for the FA Cup. So a perfect time to combine the two with our next guest, who is literally eating, sleeping and walking non-league football at the moment. After a cup set victory over Paul Town in the last round, they've been pitted in the FA Cup against AFC Wimbledon. Much organising for sure, but first up on Saturday, they have the visit of Chesham United in the FA Trophy. Do you even remember that game, Tom Loiseau, manager at Haringey Borough? Did you remember that game was on this Saturday?
Yeah, I think I have to keep being reminded every 5 minutes, to tell you the truth. It's been a hectic week ever since we beat Paul Town in the previous round. It's been hard, to say the least, to tell you the truth, to concentrate on the league or any other game at the moment.
Yeah, and we'll come back to the trophy again in a minute, but we can't really ignore the FA Cup. And first up, that great result against Paul Town.
Yeah, it was a difficult one. We always knew it would be difficult. I think we were losing 1-0 up until about 20 minutes to go. We was always on top, especially the second half. And I was confident that we'd get the equaliser, and we got the winning goal as a bonus as well. So that's all well and good for us now.
It is, and then you go into the draw, but knowing you were going into the draw, was there anything particularly you wanted from that draw?
Well, same as everyone else in that room on Monday evening at Hitchin football ground, is that they all wanted Sunderland away from home, or at home. I think everyone was rooting for that draw. Fortunately, we were drawn first out of the hat, which was more important for me to play at home. And we were drawn against AFC Wimbledon, which is a cracking draw for us. And I believe it's the draw of the round, everyone keeps telling me.
Well, and the BBC obviously think so as well. They've given you live coverage on the Friday evening. Probably couldn't have asked for anything more. But as a manager of a part-time club, you've now got a Friday night game, biggest game probably in the club's history.
Yeah.
And does that, a Friday night game, does that cause added pressures or difficulty for you as a manager?
Well, the role I've got at this football club, although it's a part-time club, I'm full-time here. So I only just got to organise the team to play on the day. There's various other things to organise, bar areas, parking, meet the BBC, safety officers, police officers. It's really, I'm eating, living, drinking Haringey Borough Football Club at the moment. I love it to bits. It's a great experience. And I'm grateful to be part of this club's new history, if you like.
Yeah, we know from talking to you before how much the club means to you. As you say, there's not a lot that goes on that hasn't been touched by you, at least, or influenced by you in some way. But how proud are you going to be in charge of your club on Match of the Day?
Very proud indeed. I can't put it into words. It's something I've been trying to get this club at this level and at this round of the draw for a few years, and it's happened now, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. I feel very proud of the football club, the players, the chairman, everybody involved at the football club, and obviously I'll give myself a little tap on the back as well. But without everyone I've just mentioned, this club would never have moved forward, especially our chairman, Mr. Achillea.
Yeah, you name check him there, and there's plenty of other people involved, and cup runs are wonderful things for a club, because I'm sure you'll pick up a few more volunteers as the season goes on the back of that success, but also you've got to have your manager's hat on, and cup runs wonderful things, especially with the increased prize money this season, but they're already distracting a bit from your league form.
Yeah, I mean, it's trying to get the players' minds now on the league form, because from being in a very good position in the league, we've slipped away a little bit. We played Paul Town Saturday. We played Corinthian Cardinals away on Monday. We started off so well. But I don't know whether it was just lost interest in the game or just, I don't know what it is.
maybe the players have got half an eye on the FA Cup. They don't want bookings. They don't want injuries. It is a very big game for the club, but I've got to find a way of still accumulating a few more points before this FA Cup game has been played. We seem to have beaten all the better opposition, and we've lost to three opposition now what have all had their turn at the bottom of the league. And it's not a very nice feeling. And I'm going to have to try and do something about it to turn things round.
And then you've got the added distraction of this weekend, you've got the FA Trophy. Perhaps not as much glory, but that's still important to you as a club and as a manager?
Every cup, every game to me is important. I want to win every game. I know it's impossible, but the mentality I've got is win every game. And hopefully it rubs off a little bit on the players. But the FA Trophy is just as important as the FA Cup to me. Realistically, there's a bigger chance of getting to the final of that one rather than the FA Cup. But who's to say with a little bit of luck, we won't progress. We'll give Wimbledon a good game. That's the first thing. And there's always that slim chance of us beating them.
And we've obviously got the trophy this weekend. Winners receiving £3,250 in prize money for this first round qualifying, which is a lot of terms in terms of a lot of money in terms of any football club at non-league. But in comparison with the FA Cup riches, it's completely different. Now, as a manager, general manager, and everything else that you do, in terms of players and perhaps needing to rest them or you know, picking up those bookings and that, do you need to consider the pound notes in those sort of decisions now because of the seriousness of those financial implications that this prize money can offer?
Of course we do. The money is very important because every penny we make or we earn or we win, whatever way you want to put it, it goes back into the football club. The chairman is a working class person. I've asked for multi-gyms, I've asked for a 3G surface, I've asked for all sorts, training kits, track suits, new floodlights, and everything we earn goes back into the football club to set this club up and make it look more professional. And again, for me, priority is promotion this year, but I also understand how important it is for the money the FA Cup and the FA Trophy bring into this place. It's unbelievable what we can do with that that money. If you put it into context as well, I mean, Spurs down the road are selling their rights to their stadium for $200 million. We had to sell it, well, basically take a minibus for free from the people that sponsored us, CVS. So, you know, we're at different levels. But equally as important, the money for us as it is for Spurs.
And obviously, Spurs don't have that same headache. They've probably got a squad twice the size of yours and the ability to pull in another, double that amount of players. So you look at the league now, and there's clubs around you. They've already played four more games than you. You want to win every game. You want to win all these cup games.
Yeah.
You're going to start to get a backlog then, and then that affects your league.
Yeah.
It's not easy being a non-league manager, is it?
It's not at all. I mean, if you ever look at our league table at the moment, I think we're 4 points off of relegation and 6 points off of playoff position. And like you said, we've already played five games in the FA Cup, and this will be our sixth. And we only operate with a small squad. We've only got a squad of 18 players, and then we've got the under-23s below. Everything does become difficult. We've had this problem before when we got promoted from the Essex Senior League. We had to play four games a week, I believe, for the month of April. And everyone was talking about Manchester City last season equaling Grays Athletic's record of 17 straight wins. But I'll tell you now, we won 21 straight wins. And, you know, it is difficult, but it is possible. Anything is possible in football, and especially in the FA Cup.
And, you know, you tucked in the bit there from the Essex Senior League because you are one of those managers that's taken your club up through the ranks. And I'm guessing you've mentioned that, but, you know, promotion sort of on the radar is what the aim was at the start of the season. Where do you see yourself taking this football club?
Well, like I said before, I've been 10 years at this club, and the first conversation I had with the chairman I will come here and help you build a business and get this club up as far up as possible in the leagues. And I said to him, if we've reached Conference South, which is the next level, if you've got any ambitions of playing in the conference, you have to have a full-time side here. So that is my aim. If we do get promotion this year or next year, it's to have an under-23 side here, which everyone could be proud of, an under-23 side, which will be good for the area as well.
And let's get back to the trophy. That's this weekend. That's the big one. The first round qualifying. Chesham United, your visitors Saturday. And they've got new joint managers in there in the form of James Duncan and Michael Murray, formerly at Potters Bar Town. Are they managers that you know, or at least know how they're going to set their side up?
Well, I've played against the Potters Bar twice last year, and they were a very organised side. And the managers are very ambitious, and I've got to pay them total respect. And although they're bottom of the league at the moment, we won't take nothing for granted, and we will respect them to the full. And I will say sadly that they need to worry about us rather than us having to worry about them.
And obviously, yeah, slightly different crowd, I'm sure. Chesham United have a fair few followers and a fair few listeners of ours, but it's going to be different from the setup for AFC Wimbledon. So how can you, when do you switch off everything else about the FA Cup game, league and everything like that, and just focus purely on the trophy game? Is it Saturday morning? Is it Friday evening? Or you try and do that Thursday night before you go to bed?
Well, we're already organising Saturday this evening in training. All the talk will be for this Saturday. Then after the game, we could speak again about the FA Cup. But all the talk, as from this evening, will be banned in the dressing rooms anywhere around the club. We will be solely focusing on the game on Saturday. After the game, you know, we'll sit in the bar and then we could talk about the FA Cup, what we've achieved so far and what we've got to come in the near future.
Tom, I really do appreciate your time. I know how busy you are and how many things, multitude of things you're juggling every day, and particularly this week. We wish you well at the weekend and wish you well with your FA Cup game, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you again very soon throughout the season.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I appreciate everybody's support. Hopefully we can make the Bostic Premier proud of us, and first of all put in a good performance on Saturday and against AFC Wimbledon and do everyone proud. Thank you.
Okay, so time then to head across to Non-League Towers and catch up with Mr. Matt Badcock, senior writer at the Non-League paper. Catch up on some of the bits we may have missed this week in the Non-League game. Good afternoon, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. We must begin with a massive congratulations from the world of Non-League to you and Mrs. B for the arrival of, Non-League journalism's future.
Well, yes. A brighter future than mine, hopefully. But yeah, welcomed a little girl into the world. Evie, come up to 3 weeks ago now. So life's changed, Tim. Life's changed.
Life's changed, but non-league's still the same, mate. It's turmoil at every turn. We've got clubs in crisis. We've got clubs changing grounds, moving back to old grounds. We've spoken to Dulwich already and touched upon the crisis at various clubs in recent weeks. But what else is going on in the world of non-league? I see that England C have announced another game for starters.
Yeah, England C are, got a game with Wales up at Salford City in March. I think it's one that's sort of been in the pipeline for quite a while, and it's come from the game that they played in Wales at Barry Town at the end of last season in March, when England, well, it was a great game actually. It was 3-2 in the end. Fajiriok and Nabiri scored a hat-trick for England C. It was 3-2, and it was a really, really entertaining evening. And if it's going to be half as good as that up at Salford, it would definitely be worth getting along to. I think it's also, I saw some of the reaction, people go, oh, Salford, blah, 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 but I think it's a great move by the FA as well, because why wouldn't you tap into a club that's owned by, or partly owned by former England internationals, and that you know, England see always needs much more publicity and attention brought to it. And if they can do that, then that can only be good for England C and the future of England C and the players that get selected, because, you know, the opportunity to you know, that link that might sort of get sort of bigger media outlets interested and gotten onto it can be really positive for England C and that non-league game as a whole, for everyone sort of realises what a good side England have got. And there's lots of good Welsh team sort of made up from Welsh Premier League, so it's really sort of interesting to see them going up against each other, and hopefully it'll be sort of a fixture that carries on for seasons and seasons to come bit of an annual event.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned you know, it's against League of Wales, which is very good standard. You know, that these are teams that will be playing in the early rounds of the Champions League and European competition, so that's a great challenge for the England team. But also, people don't realise that the standard that most of these teams that England C play against are, they're actually, you know, pretty much full-time professionals in their own leagues, aren't they? They're not just, you know, the non-leagues of other nations. It tends to be, you know, actually on the cusp of international duty, some of them, in these games. So that's where there's great importance for the England C side, because it's got to bring and lift non-league as a whole by non-league players playing against such talented players.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, when would you get a chance to go up against when they've played Turkey in the past, and you know, Senktosin is at Everton now, and I can't remember how much paid from 30 odd million, was it? You know, he's played against England C twice and been kept out twice, hasn't even scored against England C. But when they played, particularly that Turkey, those Turkey teams always stick out because of the talent that they had. And there was one player who played he played England Tuesday, and I think the following week he was playing in the Champions League for Galatasaray, and that's quite you know, a different challenge to be playing against. That guy called Emre Çolak, and I'll never forget him because he actually nutmegged the referee in the game against Dartford, which was very interesting. So, you know, slipped it through the referee's leg, took it the other side, and carried on playing. You think, well, you're quite good. but it is different. It's a different challenge. I think also it gives players a different challenge, you know, in their own group. They often turn up at the hotel or at the airport, wherever it may be, and they often don't know each other. And within three training sessions, they're a team, and they're playing for each other, for their country. And it's quite a unique thing. And I imagine, you know, there's lots of players who would love that opportunity who never get it. But in non-league, if we You there's that aspiration there. If you're a young under 23 player, there's that aspiration and that possibility to go and represent your country. And when they've played Wales actually are an open age team, so again it's a different challenge. They're not just always playing against players of their own ages. They're often playing against other people, as they do in the league as well. But it really does show off the strength of non-league players and the quality that's about.
And you mentioned obviously the next game at Salford, and obviously you're our eyes and ears at Salford with you after your recent articles in the non-league paper about Salford.
I know. I can't believe I haven't been selected for FA Cup TV coverage. Or no, I'm not allowed to say that.
Well, I was going to say, what are the main points that you learnt from going up to Salford that other maybe non-league clubs could adopt, you know, just maybe the mindset or ethos or just certain things that they do?
Yeah, something that really came through was, like you say, about that mindset. And yes, there's obviously a huge outlay of money, and I know people have their very strong opinions about that, and it divides a lot of opinion. I think Gary Neville said himself, you know, admired by some, not so much by others, and that's the way it is. But, you know, there was a real sort of humble atmosphere around the place. And, you know, the first team players literally do clean their own training ground. They don't get cleaners in. They don't have like young apprentices doing their first team area. The first team players will do it. They will literally pick up a vacuum and whiz it around in the offices and things like that. But one of the overall points of the way the whole club that really sort of shone through for me was, you know, how they sort of really focus on the importance of character, particularly in the academy. They're very, very driven to make good young men who can go on in life. If they don't make it in football, they can still go on in life and make a real contribution and be really successful in whether it's in sport as well. Obviously, the plan is to, you know, they want to be a footballer. That's their plan B. Their plan A is to be a better person. And, you know, there's lots of other avenues in there: sports science, physiotherapy, analysis, all these different areas that they hope that they can create good people. And that character is the most important thing. So the academy players will have to present in front of, like, parents for the next batch of academy people. That's standing, you know, that's not easy for a young 16, 17-year-old to stand up, where they believe you should be able to present in front of people. That's an important, you know, for young people to be able to stand up, have the confidence to speak in a public environment is massively important, because that can affect, you know, that can come into your life at any point. If you give a best man speech or anything like that, it's not just, you know, not if you're prime minister of the country or anything like that. You know, lots of people have to give speeches. So that was one thing that came through. The way they use one of their pillars of the club is survival. So they really sort of throw their young academy lads into situations to say, come on, how will you cope with this? Go and train with the first team. How do you cope with that step up? And then also, how do you cope when you come back into the academy side? You know, how do you react? How do you use that as a positive? So it was very, very interesting. There's lots in the piece around all that sort of side of things, and there's lots of issues that I couldn't get in for space-wise, but it was really interesting. I think lots of clubs would, you know, I don't think they don't sort of profess to be doing everything completely differently, and they acknowledge that other clubs are doing lots of great work as well, and they just sort of maybe come at it from a slightly different angle, where the core of their club is a little bit different, particularly with the academy setup.
And obviously, we've got the FA Trophy this weekend. We had the FA Cup draw this week. We talked to Tom down at Haringey Borough just a minute ago earlier on the show. Lots of excitement going on there. But FA Trophy, I guess, is that where you're heading this weekend?
I'll be at Leighton Orient this weekend, actually. Obviously, having a great start. But FA Trophy is a big weekend, big focus for us in the paper, as always. You know, it's one of those, it seems a long, long old way away, Wembley, at the moment, doesn't it? But I think in the past we've seen some clubs from steps 3 and 4 go have quite good runs, and I think we can't forget about how similarly a FA Cup run can be great. Also, you know, step 4 club getting a few rounds and then getting a big draw with a National League side can also be really rewarding for them. You mentioned Haringey, they had a good run last year in the trophy, didn't they? And they were drawn with Leighton Orient, and that was fantastic for them at the time. And now look at them welcoming AFC Wimbledon down in the FA Cup first round proper. And all those lessons they would have learned about the staging of that game and the logistics and what was needed for having a big away following and having a big spotlight on their club for the day will no doubt help them when Wimbledon come to town in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah. 72 ties this weekend in the FA Trophy. So it's a big impact on the calendar. But as we spoke to Tom, we get into that stage already in the season where I think they're 4 or 5 games behind other people in their division already in the Bostic Premier. And they're now going well in the FA Cup, looking for an FA Trophy run. It's great to have a cup run. It brings extra excitement in, and it's probably the easiest way to pick up some extra fans as well, because there's additional coverage or slightly different coverage. But actually, logistically, it's so difficult for a club, particularly with a small squad, to go on a cup run and maintain some league form.
Yeah, it is. You can, if people use the cliche, victims of your own success, can't you? You can really... You know, it's great while it's all going on, but then the reality is after that you have to, you know, really dig in and patch yourself together sometimes and just put a team out and try and get through it. I don't know, is that what football is really all about, sort of just getting through? I think it's something that maybe needs to be looked at. I know it's very difficult because clubs themselves don't want seasons extended always, and, you know, lots of budgets and money does come into it. But if you ask Cambridge Swiss last year, maybe they had a great FA Cup run, got to the first round, had a great FA Trophy run, and then that later go on caught up with them and they missed out on promotion, you know, which obviously they would have wanted as well. And it really is a balancing act. But I do think they have to be, particularly later on in the season where clubs are playing game after game, obviously see the Saturdays, Tuesdays, Thursdays and all this sort of thing. You have to really sort of look at what we're asking of players, because it's a health issue, isn't it? It's not healthy. It's not safe to ask these lads to keep going out and flogging themselves back to back to back, you know, when one injury or anything could affect their actual day jobs. You know, for the part-time players, you're only one injury away from your football career being over. And but what's the lasting impact of that if you have a job where you need to be moving around, if you're a coach or a personal trainer or work on a building site, you know, it can really, really affect you. And that's the one thing that is obviously hopefully been addressed by the changes to the pyramid with less league games, and it'll be interesting to see how that does pan out this year. But I think it has to be embraced, though, a good cup run, and if you can use that as momentum for the league, then you do see clubs who can combine it all, but it's not easy at all. But,
yeah, it's interesting to see as well that more and more clubs, only a handful, seem to be agreeing to extra time and penalties instead of a replay after the first match. I think it's been there for a while in the rules, but obviously both clubs in that tie have to mutually agree it. And if you're already the away club and a disadvantage, to agree then to go straight into extra time and penalties on that single one match, you're giving away a little bit more of an advantage, aren't you? But obviously, for when you're thinking about fixture congestion, your fitness of your players, the health of your players, then it's a consideration more and more clubs are going for.
Yeah, like, so I think it's been there a few years. I can't remember who the first ones who sort of did it. Well, I feel like it was Luton against Wrexham or someone like that. I could be off the mark there, but yeah, it is in the rules that if you both agree, then you won't have a replay. And you know, it's you feel like more two national league clubs who are playing against each other, I feel like they're maybe more likely, whereas a step forward club often, if they think, oh, we've got a good step two side or a national league side, and you know, even a step three side, they want to have a crack at a second chance, then why wouldn't you? It's kind of a tricky one to get balanced. And we've obviously seen replays going out of the FA Cup, haven't we, from quarterfinals onwards now, and it's obviously a big issue. But people talk about it also, we've always thought about moving the trophy, becoming a midweek competition as well, haven't they, which I wouldn't like to see that. I think it's such an important competition, a prestigious competition. I know maybe some football league clubs come down and not all of them embrace it. I think that's fair to say, and the fans don't really see it. But I think, you know, it's such a historic competition, prestigious competition, and it really does need everyone sort of shooting for it, really.
Mm. Yeah, you look at some of those ties this weekend: Bracknell Town, Bognor Regis Town. It's probably a lot easier on a Saturday than a Tuesday night, having done a Tuesday night down to Bognor Regis from the West London side of the country. So that's the FA Trophy this weekend. You're off to Leighton Orient in the National League. What else can we expect to read in the non-league paper this week?
Well, it's a busy. We've got 56 pages again, which is great, because it just means we can give that much more coverage. So I really appreciate everyone's support, and lots of clubs have sent out tweets for us and put little bits on their website just to let everyone know that we're out bigger than ever, and still at £1.50, which it has been ever since I've been at the paper. That was since 2009, which is cheaper than a cup of tea at most non-league grounds these days. But so there's lots going on there. Obviously, FA Cup's a massive focus with the first round. It's that time of the spotlight is going on to these clubs like Haringey and Maidenhead. Obviously, got through last night. They've got Portsmouth and Hampden. Got a big game against Oldham, and you know, there's lots of others. Met Police against Newport. So lots of focus on the FA Cup. Ian Ridley, who we're really lucky, writes for us. He's such a top writer, top journalist, and does so much good work. He's starting a new
he did it like a couple of weeks ago where he did a nice big piece with Martin Allen. This is the second instalment of Ian Ridley's interviews where he goes out and meets great characters for the non-league game. So that would definitely be worth a read. I'm not sure if we're allowed to say who it is yet, so I'll keep that under my hat. But
there's a reason to spend £1.50 on Sunday.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's what I'll buy. I don't even know. Gregor Robertson's written a column for us. He's a fantastic writer as well. He's got one promotion from non-league with Grimsby a couple of years ago, and now he's an excellent journalist. And I think he said to me the other week, someone said he's a better journalist than he was a footballer. But yeah, it might be a bit harsh when he's had the career he's had. But yeah, lots of bits. I've spoken to Reece Deitch about his move from Darlington to Alfton, but a lot of what I spoke to him about was playing for Gibraltar and making history of Gibraltar, being part of the first Gibraltar side to win a competitive game in the UEFA Nations League the other week, and you know, listening to the pride that he has for being part of that and how no one can ever take that away from him was, he got quite emotional about it all, and it's a nice little story.
Well, we look forward to reading all about that, Matt, and hearing about your father duty updates as well in the coming weeks. And we thank you once again for joining us.
Brilliant, Tim. Thank you very much.
That is it for this week. A big thank you to all of my guests, and a big thank you to everybody for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Tell your friends too that they can find us every week on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA. Thank you.